This program is intended for a Prince-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Millbury, Leicester, and Oxford, and thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, I will be reading recent articles about Auburn, Grafton, Millbury, and Sutton from a variety of news sources covering these communities. This is Arnie Wenske. Good afternoon. We begin with articles, information, and announcements for the town of Auburn. There will be a select board meeting on Monday, April 27th, 2026, starting at 6:30 p.m. If you're able to attend in person, the meeting will be held at the Auburn Town Hall, second floor, Select Board Room 104 Central Street. However, if you're not able to attend, you can participate remotely by dialing 408-650-3123. Enter access code 983-263-437. Once again, that dial-in number, 408-650-3123, with an access code 983-263-437 to listen in on the select board meeting on Monday, April 27th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. The agenda will include the following. Item 1, call a meeting to order and recording announcement. Item 2, Pledge of Allegiance. Item 3, public comments. Item 4, community organizations. Item 5, presentations, public hearings, including Department Snapshot, Energy Management. Agenda Item 6, Departmental Items. Item 7, Communications. Item 8, Select Board General Items, Proclamations and Recognitions, including Request for Proclamation from Barbara King to designate May 14, 2026 for Apraxia Awareness Day in honor of her granddaughter, Rosalyn, who attends Auburn Integrated Preschool. Item B, under agenda item number 8, gift acceptance in accordance with MGL Chapter 44. Item C, board vote on open air license for GFWC Auburn Juniors Women's Club at the Auburn Public Library, 369 Southbridge Street in Auburn, for the annual GFWC Auburn Juniors Women's Club Duck Race event on May 25th, 2026. Item D, member discussion of fiscal year 2027 town manager goals with a potential vote at the May 11th, 2026 meeting. Item 9 on the agenda, town manager items, including board vote on schedule for fall special town meeting. Item 10, tabled items. Item 11, member items. Item 12 will be public comments. Item 13, the minutes from the February 25th and March 9th, 2026 meetings. And the final item, number 14, adjournment. This was submitted by Ann Cavanaugh, the Select Board Chair for the Auburn Select Board. In addition to the Select Board meeting on Monday, April 27th, additional meetings during the same week will be held, including Tuesday, April 28th, Fire Station Building Committee at 6 p.m. to be held at Camp Gleason. Pre-town meeting on April 28th, starting at 6 p.m. at the Select Board Room, Town Hall. Also on April 28th, the Planning Board meeting at 7 p.m. in Conference Room 1. On Wednesday, April 29th, Municipal Scholarship Committee to be held at the Randall School Building at 3:30 p.m. Also, the Auburn School Committee at 5:30 p.m. at the Randall School Building on April 29th. And finally, on April 29th, which is Wednesday, Agricultural Committee at 7 p.m. in the Conference Room 1, Town Hall. Future events will include the town meeting to be held on May 5th at 6 p.m. at Auburn High School. I'd like you to know the following information about the upcoming town elections in May. Early voting begins on May 9th, 2026, starting at 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Please go to the second floor of the Town Hall for early election. The Town Hall, located at 104 Central Street in Auburn. Call us with any questions at 508-832-7701. The annual town election will be held on Tuesday, May 19, 2026, beginning at 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. for all precincts. The following is the official ballot for that upcoming election. Starting with the Auburn Housing Authority, there are two candidates, including Wayne C. Page, candidate for re-election. Wayne lives at 90 Old Common Road, and he is being challenged for one seat available by Kevin Charles Traina, who lives at 12 Phoenix Road. Next, Library Trustees, Auburn Free Public Library. Vote for not more than two for three-year terms. The first candidate is Arika Lynn Breisiger, who lives at 5 Cooper Street, and she is a candidate for re-election, along with Matthew Toth, 9 Exeter Drive, and he is a candidate for re-election. We also have the town moderator's position, a one-year position. We only vote for one. The only candidate is seeking re-election, Doreen Marie Goodrich of 5 Lower Winbrook Drive. For school committee, there are two openings, and there are two candidates running for three-year terms, including Stephanie L. Parker, who lives at 384 Patchogue Street, and she is seeking re-election. Rachel Ellen Girardi is 13 Lomer Drive, and she is seeking election for the first time. On the Board of Selectmen, vote for not more than 2 3-year terms, beginning with Ann Cavanaugh, who is a candidate for re-election. She lives at 10 Booth Road. Then Todd Michael Crane, also seeking re-election. He lives at 121 Hampton Street. And finally, Brandon Michael Hill, living at 86 Elmwood Street. Then Southern Worcester County Regional Vocational School Committee person, vote for one. There's only one candidate for the three-year term. Erica Crystal Euker, E-U-C-K-E-R, at 45 Barnes Street. Southern Worcester County Regional Vocational School Committee member, only one position available. Unfortunately, no one is standing for re-election there or election, and therefore write-in candidates will be encouraged. And then the town meeting members, the precincts all have their own slate of candidates, and I will not read them at this time, but you will see on your ballot, if you should choose to vote on election day on May 19th, you will see several candidates running for town meeting member for each of the precincts in Auburn. The next item on the Auburn Town's Facebook page, the Auburn Cultural Council has 12 seats available. The Auburn Cultural Council is supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council and strives to distribute allocated monies and create venues for a wide variety of arts and science endeavors that will benefit all residents of Auburn. There are 6 seats expiring for June 30th, 2026, 2 expiring for June 30th, 2027, 2 for June 30th, 2028, and 2 expiring for June 30th, 2029. For more information about these seats that are available and what the Cultural Council tries to achieve, call 508-832-7720. They are seeking members, residents, and you're welcome to nominate yourself, again, by calling 508-832-7720 for more information. The next item from the Town of Auburn Facebook page, Townwide Cleanup Day on Saturday, May 2nd, 2026, starting at 7:30 a.m., till noon, 12 p.m., join the town and the Chamber of Commerce for a massive litter cleanup. This event encourages members of the community to collect unsightly and potentially harmful waste for proper disposal. Help beautify Auburn on this rewarding and productive day. Registered volunteers will receive a t-shirt, safety and cleanup gear, a reusable bag, snacks, and a boxed lunch. Those interested in participating in the town-wide cleanup day will meet at the Fire Rescue Headquarters at 47 Auburn Street on May 2nd at 7:30 a.m. And for more details, please call 508-832-7703. More details concerning the town-wide cleanup day, which will include collection of batteries, mattresses, string lights, scrap metal, paper shredding, propane tank and fire extinguishers, mercury, sneakers, tires, and bottles and cans as part of the town-wide cleanup day. The next announcement from the town of Auburn. Attention, the pre-town meeting is approaching. Here's what you need to know. The annual pre-town meeting is a chance for town meeting members to ask questions to the town administration about warrant articles and items of discussion. Some topics of discussion will include operating and capital budgets for fiscal year 27, replacement of the roof at the Historical Museum, and acceptance of Nancy Drive as a public way. This meeting will be on April 28th at 6 p.m. in the Select Board Room at 104 Central Street, Town Hall, second floor. Any questions, please call 508-832-7720 for more information. Our next announcement from the town of Auburn, town notice dog tag registration. Please be advised that a $10 late fee will be implemented beginning May 1st, 2026 for any dog that has not been issued a 2026 dog tag. If you have applied but not yet received your 2026 dog tag, please contact the town clerk's office as soon as possible to avoid additional fees. That number for the town clerk's office is 508-832-7701 concerning town notice for dog tag registrations. Our final announcement from the town of Auburn, ignite your competitive spirit. Let's win at Pola Park as a community. Town of Auburn and WooSox Town Takeover on June 25th, 2026, starting at 6:15 p.m. Show your pride, your town pride. Celebrate Auburn with the WooSox. Enjoy an exciting day of WooSox baseball. Every ticket purchased through this offer gives directly to a nonprofit organization in Auburn. $5 from each ticket sold is donated. It's a meaningful way to give back to your community while having fun. For further details concerning this event on June 25th at Pola Park, call 508-832-7720 for more information. The following post comes from the Auburn Mass Police Department Facebook page dated April 24th. This morning, Chief R.S. Mills hosted what we hope to become an annual retiree open house. The event welcomed back members who have retired from the Auburn Police Department, giving them an opportunity to reconnect with one another while also meeting and mingling with our current personnel. It was a great morning of conversation, camaraderie, and shared memories. We are grateful to our retirees for their years of dedicated service and look forward to continuing this tradition in the years to come, including Officer John McClain, who retired in 2025, as did Sergeant Brian Kennedy in 2025. Officer George Veranos retired in 2018. Lieutenant Eileen Harrigan retired in 2022. Sergeant Jay Johnston retired in 2014. Officer James Lundgren retired in 2018. Officer Robert Gow retired in 2015. Sergeant John Kelleher retired in 2020. And finally, Sergeant Dennis Johnson retired in 1998. All attended this event. The next post from the Auburn, Mass. Police Department's Facebook page dated April 20th. Although we are a long way from both the start and finish lines of the Boston Marathon, our SEMLEC members from the SWAT, drone, and motorcycle units were all actively involved in the day's operations. Drone unit members Officer Matthew Laskus, drone team leader, and Brandon Geldart were on site monitoring the event from above, helping ensure safety and security at the Boston Marathon. They partnered with federal, state, and local law enforcement and operated one of the only three authorized drones permitted to fly in the area today, while also capturing some impressive aerial footage, which you see here. Extra bonus points from the social media team. SWAT Commander Deputy Chief Kenneth Charlton and Officer Randy Hawley assisted with safety and security at Athletes Village. Deputy Chief Charlton was assigned to the Unified Command Center while Officer Hawley served as a medic in a roving unit. Our busiest members of the day were from the motorcycle unit. Detective Keith Chipman, MC team leader, along with officers Jason Brooks and Eric Gasiorski, stayed busy escorting buses full of runners from the drop-off area to the staging area. We are honored each year to be part of such a time-honored and incredible event. Great work by everyone involved. Next item from the Auburn Youth and Family Services Facebook page dated April 19th. We're incredibly grateful to the Auburn community for coming together at Auburn Youth and Family Services to kick off the development of our new strategic plan. During our first session, we had thoughtful and meaningful conversations as we reviewed our mission, vision, and core values, an important foundation for the work ahead. The process is being expertly guided by Dr. Jeffrey Trant and Dr. Lenore Rust from Anna Maria College, and we are so appreciative of their leadership. Thank you to everyone who participated and shared your voice. Your engagement and commitment to our community make this work truly meaningful. We are excited for what's ahead. Our next item from the Auburn Youth and Family Services Facebook page, dated April 3rd, sincere congratulations are extended to Cindy Dwelly, office manager at Masterman's in Auburn, where she's worked for 43 years. In true Cindy fashion, she did not want any big recognition, so instead she asked that people donate their money or food to the Auburn Youth and Family Services Food Pantry. Masterman's and many others just did donating food and money, with Cindy dropping off these large quantities herself, and we simply cannot thank them and Cindy enough. Over the years, Cindy has donated countless hours at Auburn Youth and Family Services, along with her colleagues at Masterman's, and she is simply beloved by them and us. We wish you every happiness in your well-deserved retirement, Cindy, and we thank you and salute you for who you are and what you do for others in the town of Auburn. Following news and information and announcements from the Auburn, Massachusetts Senior Center newsletter for the month of May, the Flagtown Flyer. The Auburn Senior Center is located at 4 Goddard Drive in Auburn, Mass., and the phone number is 508-832-7799. The cover page for the May edition of the Flagtown Flyer is about the Outreach Department. The Outreach Department can help Usha Verma, Outreach Coordinator, is available to assist Auburn residents. Her goal is to support the elders in the community by helping them find the information and resources they need. If you're an older adult or caring for aging parents in Auburn and need information or help, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Outreach Department provides information and referrals on such items as fuel assistance through the WCAC, food assistance, food pantries, SNAP, formerly called food stamps, the medical alert buttons, the transportation options, files of life, a form you fill out with your emergency contacts, medications, allergies, etc., that is placed on your refrigerator. The EMTs look for it if they respond to a medical emergency. Benefits checkup. You may qualify for a discount or program you don't know about. Let us put your information through the benefits checkup to see what you qualify for. Housing help. Are you looking for to downsize? Are you a caregiver that needs more information about memory care programs, nursing homes, or assisted living options? Also, real estate tax exemptions and abatements. Referrals to support groups for caregivers, grandparents raising grandchildren, other specific diseases or specialty groups. Finally, help in locating specific types of agencies for individual needs. Home visits are available for homebound individuals seeking information or assistance with completing forms. All information obtained during office or home visits is strictly confidential. For more information about services, call UMA at 508-832-7799. That is the Outreach Department with the coordinator, UMA Verma. The following program will be held at the Auburn Senior Center on Wednesday, April 29th at 1 p.m., Estate Planning, Probate, and Medicaid Planning. Attorney Nick DeVoe will discuss estate planning, probate, and Medicaid in this one-hour free seminar. A well-crafted estate plan ensures that your financial and medical wishes are carried out should you pass away or become incapacitated. It can also protect your assets and help you avoid probate. This generally includes a basic estate plan consisting of a last will and testament, durable power of attorney, and a health care proxy. Some estate plans consist of trusts for various reasons as well. Attorney DeVoe will discuss how these estate planning documents work together, how the probate process works, and strategies people use to try to protect their assets in the event of long-term care. Estate planning, probate, and Medicaid planning presented on Wednesday, April 29th at 1 p.m. To register, call 508-832-7799. And on May 5th, that's on Tuesdays, May 5th, between May 5th and June 9th, there's a six-week session entitled Memoir Vignettes, Personal Narratives. We've all wondered if we should tell our stories. Our stories are the fabric of our lives. They create a pathway into one's heart and soul, into the very nature of who we are and what mark we have made in the world. They can leave a legacy for children, grandchildren, and other relatives to come to know us as people much more deeply than just mom, dad, nana, grandpa. And writing those stories can illustrate our thoughts, desires, wishes, events, emotions, written in one's own voice, by one's own hand, to cherish for years to come. It's time to get busy illustrating your life. Writing can be difficult. It's messy, can be frustrating, but it is also cathartic and liberating. None of us need to be an expert. Even published writers were rookies once. Writing is a process, an enjoyable one, that can open up so many different worlds for us, just like reading can. Maybe we're not rookies, but just can't get started. You don't know until you try. This program is limited to 12 participants during the six-week session. There is no charge. It'll be instructed by Karen Higgins on Tuesdays between May 5th and June 9th for 6 weeks, starting at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. For more information and to register, 508-832-7799 for the memoir Vignettes, Personal Narratives, beginning on Tuesday, May 5th. Our next program at the Auburn Senior Center on Monday, May 11th at 1 p.m., The Etiquette of 1890. Tea and accompaniments will be served. Advice and admonitions from a proper Victorian lady. Ladies, raise your skirts, ankles concealed, please. We are stepping into the age of gentility as guests of Mrs. Russell Parsons, a fictional proper Victorian lady. Audiences become privy to the joys and trials of her life in the area of corsets, calling cards, and decorum. The performance is designed to revive lovely, ageless, and occasionally ridiculous traditions, all against the backdrop of fun. With a display of antique props that includes clothing, fans, ice skates, holiday cards, doll, etc., Mrs. Parsons explores the legend of afternoon tea, tea etiquette, fashion fundamentals, fan language, calling card etiquette, courtship scandals and roles and responsibilities of a wife, and assorted other topics that range from tickling to poignant. The tone is conversational with audience participation welcome. The result is a light, amusing historical overview of Victorian life. The Etiquette Expert of 1890 is an ideal accompaniment to an afternoon tea. Guests are encouraged to wear hats and gloves. This program on Monday, May 11th, starting at 1 p.m., reserve for the Etiquette of 1890 by calling 508-832-7799. The next program at Auburn Senior Center, phobias. Which one do you have? Everyone is scared of something for no reason. You see whatever it is and start to feel panic. Your breath becomes in short gasps. You may have a phobia. Come learn all about them. I happen to have letterdopperphobia. On Thursday, May 14th, at 9:50 a.m. with Sari Biddix leading this discussion. She is the president of the Auburn Historical Society. Call the Auburn Senior Center to register for this program on Thursday, May 14th, starting at 9:15 a.m. Call 508-832-7799. Is served daily at the Auburn Senior Center on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Lunch is served at noon. On Thursdays, lunch is served at 11:45 a.m. The following is the menu for the coming week. Starting with Tuesday, April 28th, Swedish meatballs, mashed potatoes with Scandinavian vegetables. Wednesday, April 29th, Sloppy Joe's, herb potatoes, mixed vegetables. And then on Thursday, April 30th, chicken cacciatore with gemelli, pasta, broccoli. And then on Friday, May 1st, potato crunch fish with rice pilaf and mixed vegetables. Then on Monday, May 4th, shepherd's pie with carrots, peas. Tuesday, May 5th, there'll be chicken fajitas, Spanish rice, black bean and corn. And Wednesday, May 6th, braised beef, gemelli, pasta, broccoli. To reserve a spot for any of these, please call the Senior Center 2 days in advance of the meal by calling 508-832-7799. A $3 donation is suggested. The following reminder is from the Auburn Senior Center Transportation Services. The Auburn Senior Center and the Worcester Regional Transit Authority, WRTA, offers shared ride transportation for Auburn residents age 60 and older, individuals with disabilities of all ages. The van provides home pickup and may make additional stops for other riders. To set up an account or schedule a ride, call the Worcester Regional Transit Authority at 508-752-9283 for transportation services. Friends of the Auburn, Massachusetts Public Library will be holding a Friends book sale on Saturday, May 2nd, 2026 from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Auburn Public Library, Merriam Room, 369 Saltbridge Street in Auburn. Once again, cash, check, or PayPal. Welcome Friends book sale once again Saturday, May 2nd, 2026. Starting at 10 a.m. and running until 12:30 p.m. The following news, information, and announcements are for the town of Grafton. We begin with an article from the Grafton News, dated April 24th, 2026, entitled Grafton High School Earns Prestigious National Gold Council of Excellence Award. Grafton Student Council has been awarded the National Gold Council of Excellence Award, recognizing exceptional leadership, service, and community engagement. According to the awarding organization, Grafton stood out among thousands of schools nationwide for its innovative approach to school and community initiatives. The clothing drive and thrift shop the council sponsored in December was one of the key initiatives contributing to this recognition. In addition, the council was recognized in March at the State Student Council Conference, earning a top 10 award for the thrift shop initiative, as well as the State Gold Council of Excellence Award for its continued impact in the school and community. Students have also remained active this spring, organizing a Red Cross blood drive at the school and hosting an egg hunt for local elementary school students. Article from the Grafton News, dated April 16th, override failure will require cuts to ban and sports curriculum. The school committee met on April 7th and heard from school superintendent Jay Cummings the details of how the failure of the override will affect schools. The $5 million override is meant to cover school 60% and other town department 40% cost deficits for the next 5 years. Other similar recent overrides intended to cover costs for 5 years have lasted for 6 years. But the sixth year of the most recent override was a difficult one for the schools. In fiscal 2026, the budget was down by about $600,000, with $162,000 in reductions of supplies, materials, and technology, as well as more than $400,000 that accounted for the loss of half a preschool teacher position and a human resources director position, technology position, math intervention position, a maintenance position, as well as three curriculum coordinators. Cummings prepared two budgets for the coming fiscal year, 2027, one a level service budget that maintained the current level of service and programming, and another that included reductions in level of service and programming. The latter, the reduction budget, would take effect if the upcoming override fails. Cummings pointed out that even the level service budget is based on the fiscal 2026 budget that was already reduced. Keeping a level services budget, Cummings said, would require about $1 million, which the override would provide. Unlike other towns where their budgets request additional positions and when budgets are cut, they merely find themselves unable to hire new teachers. Grafton will have to cut existing positions if the override fails. These are actually people, tremendous educators, and people who are going to be impacted, Cummings said. Cummings said he hoped to be able to bring back the HR director position due to the need for HR services in an organization that employs 570 people. I tell you firsthand, it's impossible to do justice to what needs to be done in the world of HR with somebody doing it along with other positions, Cummings said. Cummings said he would try to make teacher cuts with less impact to the lower grades, but he expected that class size of 25 or more from grade 4 on up would be needed. Positions to be reduced include a 5-year AI and digital learning specialist position will be reduced reduced to a tech support position. Positions to be eliminated include district curriculum position, currently vacant and will not be filled, leaving two curriculum specialists. High school math teacher, resulting in larger class sizes. High school French teacher, resulting in elimination of the French program. High school food and consumer science teacher, resulting in the elimination of that program. High school half-time guidance counselor, resulting in a decrease in college and career counseling services. Middle school Spanish, two positions to be eliminated, resulting in high school Spanish classes starting from scratch. Middle school music teacher, resulting in only one remaining teacher, likely impacting band and chorus. Elementary school music teachers at both North Street School and Milbury Street School, resulting in the elimination of the band program. Three teachers, one in each grades 4, 5, and 6, resulting in an increase of class size to 25 to 30 students. Activities to be reduced. Middle school sports, 8 teams, including basketball, soccer, baseball, softball, and track and field. JV2 teams, soccer, football, volleyball, and basketball. Cummings provided some context of where Grafton will stand when it comes to language offerings if the French program is eliminated. The surrounding towns of Shrewsbury, Milbury, Sutton, Westboro, and Nipmuc, which is up the Mendon, all provide both French and Spanish. Shrewsbury also offers Mandarin and Latin. Those changes were of great concern to Grafton School Committee Chair Leora Bram, who pointed to the kind of undermining of future skills that would happen if language programs were reduced or disappeared. I want people to understand that these choices will do to our kids when they move to the next level, Bram said. Other school committee members were concerned as well about the future. The cuts being discussed were just the cuts for the coming year. Without a 5-year plan for funding, further cuts could happen in coming years. While cutting teachers, classes, and activities is dire, Cummings looked to the future and considered the possible cuts to other services the schools need to provide, such as nursing and counseling, if no further funds are forthcoming. We've just got to hold on to some things just to be safe and functional, but with a few years of reductions, we will, without a doubt, be hitting upon those services, he said. In addition, cutting teachers would make it more difficult to attract good candidates should the opportunity arise with funding in coming years. It will be an uphill battle for years and years to restore to where we are now, Grafton School Committee Clerk Rebecca Succo said. Comparisons of Grafton's budget to the rest of the state show how lean Grafton's budget is, Cummings said. The town is in the bottom 4% of 320 Massachusetts school districts, making it 12th from the bottom in per pupil spending. The state average is $21,377 per pupil. Grafton is spending just $16,585 per pupil, which is also less than surrounding towns spend on their students. It's hard to put into words how much I hate to discuss reductions, Cummings said. To me, it represents a dismantling of all of the collaborative work the school committees, you guys, and previous school committees, taxpayers through override votes, and the entire staff of the Grafton Public Schools, all the work that's been done over the 15 years plus to build us up on a shoestring budget to where we are today. Override information sessions. The town select board, school committee, and finance committee chairs will present 2 outreach sessions to help provide information to voters regarding the proposed $5 million override that will be before the town at town meeting and the town election this spring. The information sessions were held on Thursday, April 16th, and Saturday, April 25th at the Grafton High School. Possible topics included why the override is being proposed, its impact on taxpayers, the definition of an override, and the process for passing an override, and which services to the town will be cut if the proposed override does not pass at the town meeting or at the ballot box. Other questions from residents were answered. Residents have access to a tax impact calculator on the town's website. In conjunction with the override vote expected in May, there is a group called Yes Grafton that has been formed of concerned citizens advocating for a Proposition 2.5 override to fully fund Grafton's schools and municipal services. What do you love about living in Grafton? This override is about protecting the quality of life and character of Grafton, keeping our schools strong, our services reliable, and our community the kind of place people are proud to call home. The Yes Grafton Committee would like to remind you of the following important dates. May 1, that's Friday, May 1, voter registration deadline. On May 11th, it'll be the town meeting. And finally, on May 19th, will be the important town election regarding the override. Following article is from the Community Advocate. Grafton Select Board says town administrator has done great in latest review. This article dated April 23rd, 2026. On April 7th, the Grafton Select Board completed its annual review of town administrator Evan Broussard, who celebrated his fifth year leading the town this February. With a score of 74.2 out of 100, Broussard's performance was rated as great, meeting and occasionally exceeding established standards and objectives. Broussard received high marks for his long-term financial planning, fiscal management, and bringing a team approach to the Grafton Memorial Municipal Center. Select board members and staff praised his down-to-earth, authentic style. Evan continues to demonstrate strengths in his ability to communicate with employees and create a positive environment at the town hall. One anonymous select board member commented, in the evaluation, his employees note that he empowers them to run their departments independently and gets involved only when needed or asked. Added another member, Evan's biggest strength may be his temperament. I always hear about actions he's taken to help someone. His calming demeanor, unflappable attitude, and his ability to listen and make people feel heard, his respect for his staff and their individual roles, and his ability to diffuse potentially difficult situations and discussions. He's very knowledgeable across all areas of municipal and state government. In terms of what Broussard could improve, select board members pointed to delegation, noting how Broussard's packed schedule leaves little time for strategic planning. Delegating authority and setting specific objectives were among Broussard's lowest scores. I don't know how he does it, one anonymous staff member said. Regardless of how much stress Evan may be under, it stays with Evan and never impacts staff. Personal feelings never factor into work decisions. Evan respects department head feedback and decisions and always prioritizes the town's needs. A select board member wrote, Evan should continue to work on delegation with his office. He should continue to work on timely responses to residents and committee members. He should also continue to foster interactions between departments at the municipal center to foster a great sense of a unified team. Our next article from the Community Advocate, dated April 19, 2026, Grafton's Middle School's lousy roof could run town up to $5.3 million. A Grafton school roof in need of help, to put it lightly, will appear before residents in upcoming months. At town meeting and at the ballot, residents will be asked to invest in a new roof for the school, though the exact dollar amount hasn't been decided as of the publication of this article. In the spring 2025, Garland, a commercial roofing firm, studied the roof at Grafton Middle School located at 22 Providence Road. The study revealed significant issues, with its final report determining that catastrophic failure and other health dangers are dangerously evident if roof replacement is put off any further. In the fall, town meeting approved funds for further study and analysis of the roof. On April 7th, Superintendent James Cummings went before the school board to outline options to replace the 63-year-old roof, which has gone through decades of patching. It is original to the 76,000-square-foot Grafton Middle School, which opened in 1963. It's just a mess, said Cummings. A full roof repair would run between $4.3 to $5.3 million, according to Cummings. Some areas are worse than others. A partial replacement of the whole roof would run between $2.2 and $2.7 million. Solely replacing the most serious damaged portions of the roof, the area of the building closest to Providence Road, which houses all the classrooms, would cost between $1.5 and $1.8 million. Grafton could be eligible for the MSBA Accelerated Repair Program, which could reimburse 50% of the expenses. However, the application doesn't open until January 2027. Following news, information, and announcements are for the towns of Sutton and Millbury. We begin with an article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, dated April 24th, 2026. Millbury Town Election, April 28th. That's Tuesday, April 28th. Millbury's town election this spring will include competitors for seats on the Select Board, School Committee, and Planning Board. For an empty seat, one-year seat, that is, on the Select Board to fill last year of Catherine McKenna's term, Michael Gilchrist and Richard F. Gosselin, Jr., currently a member of the Planning Board, will compete to serve for one-year term. Brian Sora is alone in campaigning for re-election to a three-year term on the Select Board. The school committee also has a competitor for incumbent Jessica Bristol, who is running against Sean Michael Cooper for a three-year seat on the school committee. The planning board will see three candidates for two seats on the board, with Richard Gosselin Jr. and Tony Goh campaigning for re-election to their seats, while Melody A. Bellevue challenges for one of the seats. Gosselin, who is also running for select board, can only serve on one board. All other positions available have only one candidate, with the exception of seats on the Redevelopment Authority and Housing Authority. Those seats have no candidates. Voters may write in candidates if they wish. Put in the following in a highlighted box. The Millbury town election will be held on Tuesday, April 28th, with voting at the Millbury Memorial Junior Senior High School on Martin Street, starting at 7 a.m. and running until 8 p.m. on Tuesday, May 28th. Next article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, dated April 24, 2026. Rebecca Foran begins role as Sutton Treasurer Collector in April. Rebecca Foran officially began her position as the new Treasurer Collector for the town of Sutton on April 13th. The announcement was made by town officials, who welcomed Foran to the team and expressed anticipation for her contributions to the community. The appointment is significant because the treasurer-collector plays a key role in managing town finances and supporting local government operations. This position is especially important in Sutton, where maintaining a balanced budget is required each year by the town manager, according to the official website. Sutton operates under a town manager appointed by its select board, with responsibilities that include submitting an annual balanced budget and overseeing various departments. The town spans about 33.9 square miles, consisting of approximately 32.4 square miles of land and 1.6 square miles of water, according to the official website. Town officials said they are looking forward to working with Foran, as she brings valuable experience to this important town's position. Article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, dated April 24, 2026, Millbury Public Schools opens sign-ups for final after-school enrichment session. Millbury Public Schools announced on April 16th that registration is now open for the final session of its after-school enrichment program. The session includes an art club, pottery, for 5th and 6th graders and a chess and board game club, both held on Tuesdays with pickup scheduled promptly at 3:45 p.m. The after-school enrichment programs aim to provide students with opportunities beyond regular classroom activities. Space in each club is limited and students may only register for one club at a time. Families are required to return signed registration forms by Monday, April 27th. Transportation will not be provided for these activities. Next article, dated April 24th from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, Local Women in Sports Events. The Boston Legacy Women's Professional Soccer Team held an event on Saturday, March 28th, to honor local women in sports, and Abby Jenkins and Sarah Mendoza represented the 2026 State Division champion for Sutton Susie's High School Girls Soccer Team. Natick D1 Duxbury, D2 Medfield, D3 Sutton, and Hull D5 were all recognized on the field and Jumbotron for their championship achievement in this past fall. Jenkins and Mendoza were senior captains this year and, along with senior captain Ava Magnuson, are the only players in Massachusetts high school soccer history to win 5 consecutive state championships. During this run, they produced a record 39 wins and no losses over the 5-year span in single elimination games. Sutton has the most girls soccer state championships with 13 over the past 40 years, along with most final appearances at 17. Next fall, 4 Sutton graduating seniors will take their talents to the following programs. Abby Jenkins to the University of New Haven, which is a D1 school. Ava Magnuson will attend College of William and Mary, a Division I school. Sarah Mendoza will attend St. Anselm College, a D2 division school. And Maddie Nunnemacher will attend University of Hartford, a Division III school. Congratulations to all. Our next article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, dated April 24th, 2026, This Week in Millbury History. This week marks a significant period in Millbury history. Lawrence Atwood Whitney died on April 24th, 1941, in Boston, Massachusetts, at the age of 50. A native of Millbury, his early life began there, and the town remained his first place of origin. Whitney was known for track and field, especially the shot put. At the 1912 Summer Olympics, a bronze medal was won in that event. Participation also included discus throw and other contests. Education included Worcester Academy and Dartmouth College. At Dartmouth, competition took place in track, football, and hockey. The football team named him captain in 1914. All-America honors were earned in 1913 and 1914. National titles in shot put were won in 1913 and 1915. Work later included service as an assistant football coach at Penn State. Military service followed during World War I in the United States Army. Recognition came later with induction into Dartmouth Athletic Hall of Fame. His burial took place in Boston, Massachusetts. Next article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, dated April 16th, 2026. 4 Millbury residents compete at Irish Dancing World Championship. The World Championships of Irish Dancing took place on March 29th until April 5th in Schaumburg, Illinois. The World Championship has been taking place around the world for the past 54 years. To make it this level of Irish dancing, a dancer must qualify at either the Regional Championship, also known as the Orichitas, or the National Championship. Qualifying for the World Championships is extremely difficult. It takes immense grit, hard work, and determination. This year, Murphy Academy took 12 qualified dancers to the event. Out of the 12 dancers, 4 of them are residents of Millbury. Avery Shimonian, Carolyn Crandall, Kylie Franklin, and Taylor Shamoian. Avery Shamoian, a seventh grader at Millbury Junior Senior High School, competed in an outstanding girls' U14 competition with over 150 of the top dancers in her age group from around the world. This year marked Avery's third qualifications for the World Championship, a testament to her commitment and skill. She is one of the four soloists from the Murphy Academy to qualify as a solo competitor, demonstrating her exceptional talent and passion for Irish dance. Joining Avery at the World Championship were Caroline Crandall, Kylie Franklin, and Taylor Shamoian. These Millbury residents and Shaw Elementary School students were all a part of an 8-hand celli team that performed in the girls' U13 celli competition. The term celli is derived from an Irish word meaning celebration, refers to traditional group dances that have a cornerstone of Irish culture of four centuries. The team performed to a traditional dance to the Irish tune called the Three Tunes, earning an impressive 14th place in the world. Beyond competition, these girls actively participate in local events, sharing their love for Irish dance throughout central Massachusetts. They exemplify the core values of our school and inspire younger generations of dancers. Our next article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, dated April 16, 2026, third town manager search since 2020 looms for Millbury. When Millbury Town Manager Karen Clark was chosen as the top candidate for the position in 2024, Millbury officials confessed to some relief that the process put in place someone who promised a smooth transition. Clark had been deputy town manager and had taken over as acting town manager from the previous fall. They also expressed some fatigue at having to go through the selection process again. Now, Millbury officials are facing the third town manager search since 2019 after Clark was offered the position of town administrator in Clinton. Clark was deputy town manager and became the interim town manager in August of 2023. She applied for and was chosen for the permanent position of town manager in early 2024, beating out other candidate April Stewart from the town of Boylston. Millbury Select Board Chair Mary Krumzik praised Clark's performance since taking the position. Program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of a program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Arnie Wensky. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more great programming from Audio Journal.
Hello once again, Audio Journal listeners. This is Bill Ruggiero with your latest weather forecast for Monday, April 27th, 2026. Here's my latest upcoming forecast. For today, we'll have mostly sunny skies, highs near 61 degrees. For tonight, mostly clear skies, low around 35 degrees. Now for your Tuesday, it's called for mostly sunny skies with clouds in the afternoon. Highs Tuesday near 68 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy skies with showers likely late. Lows will be in the mid-40s. And the outlook for Wednesday is called for mostly cloudy skies with showers and possible thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs Wednesday in the mid-50s. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies with rain and thunderstorms likely. Some of the rain may be heavy at times, low in the lower 40s. And the outlook for Thursday is calling for mostly cloudy skies with rain and wind. Highs Thursday in the mid-60s. That is your latest weather forecast for today. This is Monday, April 27th, 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good and happy day, everybody. And please stay tuned for more programming up next on Audio Journal. Take care. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Worcester Regional Transit Authority, also known as the WRTA, is a regional transit system that services the city of Worcester and the surrounding 36 communities in the central Massachusetts area, with a bus fleet that includes all-electric buses, as well as many diesel-electric hybrid buses. The second largest regional transit authority in Massachusetts, the WRTA offers reliable, comfortable, and safe transportation for traveling to work, shopping, school, medical appointments, and leisure activities. The WRTA also provides paratransit service for the elderly and disabled, as well as a variety of special services for those groups in the entire service area. For more information, visit the website at www.therta.com or call 508-791-9782.